The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Healed. They're not looking anymore. Not just here, but houses all across this country. Houses of worship of God are empty. Because God matters not. There arose a king, your Bible said, that knew not Joseph. And he began to forsake Joseph's God. There is, as it were, a leader that knows not the God of our fathers, nor the God I serve. And so we need to today, while we're, am I on here? We need to today, while we are considering and taking a moment of silence to remember those fallen, that many more are destined to fall. Until we, as you've heard repeatedly over the past several months, get into a mode of repentance that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And America is far from repenting. As a matter of fact, we are relishing and reveling in our revelry. We think that we can live like hell and go to heaven. Is that too strong for you? We think that we can go our own way and do our own thing. That was a 70s song. Some of you aren't even old enough to remember it. Some of you probably weren't even born yet. Go your own way, and it'll lead you to hell. We have to go the way of the Master. We must go His way. We were talking last night. We attended a conference, and we were talking last night on the way home from the conference that there is only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Only Jesus. There is salvation in only Jesus. There's salvation in only Him. There is no other name whereby given that we must be saved. No other name. We're working on our sound for those of you on the streaming broadcast. You missed a whole bunch. I'm not going to repeat it. You should have been here. Too bad. There's coming a day when you're going to give an account for that which you could have known but did not know. You chose not to know. I hate to say that because I know there are a lot of popular preachers and millionaire preachers and billionaire preachers that are going around saying, I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, and you're going to be in that crowd with them, but you're going to find out that they weren't okay, you're not okay, and in the end, nobody's going to be okay. Jesus said, strive to enter into the narrow gate. That means it's a struggle. That means some Sundays you're going to have to push to get here. Some Sundays you're going to have to struggle to get to the house of the Lord. If I only came when I felt like it, when this flesh felt like it, this morning at 4 o'clock when we've got sick babies at the house, we didn't get home till 11:30. Still had to do you all a PowerPoint because you ain't bringing your Bibles. Uh-oh. Oh, can I pastor a minute? Is that okay? I know. You got it on your phone. I'm sorry. Go ahead and close that Candy Crush and turn over to your Bible app. I might just preach a little bit. Is that okay? Is that all right there, buddy? Oh, heavens. So, if I only come to church when I feel like it, what if I don't feel like it when the Lord comes back and says, all right, too bad you didn't feel like it. We're going to heaven today. What if he starts, if revival starts in the house, what if rapture starts in the house of the Lord? You come here and this building's empty except for a couple who had never made Jesus the Lord of their life. They'll be saying, they were just here and all of a sudden they were gone. I don't know what happened. And there's a book back there in the library that will tell you what happened. But if you didn't come when you had the opportunity, why would you want to come after it's over? Right? All right. Well, let me establish something this morning. We're glad that you're here. It's a rainy day, so we know that nobody's fishing because it's lightning out. We know that they can't be golfing unless they just want to be lightning rods. So your bed must have felt very good, and the Bible's very clear. Wake up, you sleeper. One of these days you're going to wake up, and it's going to be a better alarm clock than Ashley has. I'm just saying. She's staying with us while her house is being renovated, and I'll probably still be able to hear that alarm when she moves over 2 miles away. But just throwing that out there. I want to this morning, I want to teach a little bit and then preach a little bit. Is that okay? Is it okay if I teach you something? How many of you want to learn something from the Word of God? Okay, go ahead and give me that first, the another slide. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Verse of the year. It's been up there and we've been talking about it nigh on to 30 some weeks now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Boom. That's the only thing you got to do. He didn't say, build a great cathedral with spires reaching to the ceilings. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. If you haven't learned that verse this year and you're needing a little help with it, and I mean, we've almost exhausted every potential perspective of that verse this year. If you still need help with it, see Pastor me or Luke afterwards. We'll help you a little more. We'll take the Schofield and pound it into you. Next verse. There you go. In order for us to understand the message today, we have to understand that God the Father is our source. More than a name, because we can sit out here and sing Jehovah Jireh all day long and it sounds pretty, and people are like, oh, I just love that Jehovah Jireh. But do you love Jehovah the Jireh? Not Jehovah Jireh. Don't sing songs about him. We're called to sing worship to him. Our worship has to ascend to him and not just be about him. You ever come up on a conversation where anybody was talking about you and they didn't realize that you were in the room? And then they turned around and they're like, oh, we were just talking about so-and-so. And they really didn't realize who you were? Had the weirdest conversation one time. We were sitting at the break table at work. And this guy was talking about, there were three of us sitting there, and this guy came and joined us, and he started talking about this guy upstairs at work, and this guy was, oh man, the guy's just such a jerk, and he goes, oh, I don't know you two, who are you? And I introduced him, and I said, oh, by the way, that's his brother. Normal people would have said, I didn't mean that. But he was like, well, he is a jerk. Okay. When we sing to the Lord, we're called to sing unto him, and we sing because we know what we're singing about, not just the words on the screen.
That's right. Amen.
When you pour out your heart unto the Lord, you're pouring out your heart unto the source. So the Father is the source. In James 1 and 17, it says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift. You say, well, that's not so, Pastor. All right. Had a friend give me a, a nice new car. God laid it on their heart. God knew that you were in need, or God knew that He wanted to bless you, and He used people to do it. Well, I just don't think He does that. Then throw your Bible away. Because you got the Bible as men of old were moved upon the Holy Spirit, and they got an unction from the Lord to write down these verses. Every good and perfect gift. Now, how many of us got some gifts that were imperfect? I've got some gifts that were pretty imperfect. I'm not going to go into who or what, but one day, some people went on a trip and they went up to that place that Vanessa likes to go, and they brought her back a big old blueberry pie. I'm like, praise the Lord. And they said, well, they didn't have any coconut cream, so you can share this one. And I did. I shared it. All. So where do the not-so-perfect gifts come from? You ever had a gift that kept on giving? I love the commercials on TV now we've got antenna TV again. I love the commercials on TV. And you can add a second one for a simple handling fee. Well, that sounds good. It's free, except for the $99.95 you got to pay to get it delivered to you. But wait, the first one was only $19.95 to get it delivered to you. How is that free? Or I'm gonna get off TV now. I'm gonna get into the church. A free will donation of $8 will get you a meal at our chili supper. What if I don't free will $8? What if I free will $2? Am I meddling yet? Oh, okay. All right. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Philippians 4:19, we quote this a lot, but a lot of times we can quote it, but if it ain't in there, it just becomes a memorized line, a memorized scripture. You know, I happen to quote a little bit of Shakespeare every now and again. That which we call a rose by any other name, twould smell as sweet. Do I believe that? Well, I guess. I mean, we're going to have to deal with some of that stuff with the pronoun ease that's going on right now. You can call yourself whatever you want to, but that which we call a rose, you know, that which we call a boy is still a boy. That which we call a girl is still a girl. I don't care what you want to identify as. You can identify as a banana peel. I don't care. But the Lord said He created male and female, created He them, and you're created in the image of God. If you want to change that image into a banana peel, God bless you, but don't expect me to follow in your delusion. So we can quote things all day long, but until we're quoting them and speaking them out of our heart, when we have a need and we begin to say, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory, and by Christ Jesus, until we get it in here and we begin to trust the Word of God and we begin to speak the Word of God with authority, I don't think that works, Pastor. Well, it won't. I've tried that and it don't work. Well, you might want to make sure whose camp you're in. Over in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva decided that they were itinerant devil casters and devil chasers, and they were going to chase the devil out of some old guy. And they said, by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches, we command you to come out. They came out all right, and they jumped on them, and they beat them up and left them bruised, wounded, and naked in the street. And they said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? We've got to get it out of our head and into our hearts. And when we do, then God the Father is our support, our supplier and our source. Our Father is our source. Amen? One more. Romans 11:36, and this is out of the Living Bible. For everything, somebody say everything.
Everything.
Can you get any more if you've got everything? Do you have room for anything else if you've got everything? If you did, you didn't get everything. If you got room for one more grain of sand, then you didn't get everything. But everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by His power. And everything is for His glory. And then I like this ending. To Him be glory evermore or forever. We're just practicing here. We're just practicing here. That's why we're so into it. We know what heaven is like. And when we get to heaven, I already want to be in tune. I already want to be ready to go when we get to the heaven and we start seeing those creatures flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. I'm going to know what to do with my crown when that happens. I'm going to know what to do because I'm going to bow before Him and I'm going to cast the crowns that I've won at His feet because He's worthy forevermore. Amen? That's why we do what we do. Well, okay. So who's our source? Don't be shy. There will be a quiz right outside those doors. And it may not be a quiz this time. It may be the test. Who's our source? The Father. You got to know it. By the way, in the final exam, it's not open book. It's open heart.
Come on.
Y'all going to work me to death. It's already hot enough in here. You're going to work me to death. The final exam, you need to be as David was and said, you know what? Thy word have I hid in my heart. And at the final exam, the answer should be in your heart. If you put it in, it will come out.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I'll just amen that right there.
Yeah.
You can't bring out what's not in.
Come on. Come on.
Our apples are coming in. And there's a big box of them that needed peeled. And Vanessa had said she was going to peel them. And I thought, well, if she don't, I will. And so I went, and the box had been moved. So I just assumed that when I opened up the lid on the big pot on the stove that I would see apples in there getting, you know, boiled and ready to be frozen or whatever. Or blanched and frozen, however that works. I don't know. So I opened up that pot on the stove, and I looked inside it. Ain't nothing there. Well, I thought, well, that's kind of silly. Maybe it's just my eyes playing tricks on me. And I went and got a spoon, and I opened up the lid again, and I stuck the spoon down in, stirred a little bit, pulled it up, and ain't nothing there. You know why? Because you can't get something where there ain't nothing to be had. I gave that to you for free. If you want, go ahead and deduct it out of my pay this week. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. All right. Who's our source? The Father. All right. Make sure you remember that. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. This is Jesus talking. He had some religious people trying to stump the pastor on Wednesday night. They said to him, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? And bring your question. Stump the Messiah. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, to who?
Father.
The
father.
Who's the father? The source. The certain man said to the source, hang on, Stay with me. Track with me. Said to the Father or the Source, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me mine. So, the Father said, okay. And He divided to them. Who did the asking? The younger son. And the Father divided to both. His livelihood. And not many days after, he'd been looking up on Travelocity. He'd been looking up on Hotel.com. He'd been looking up on travel plans and party destinations. And it was bike week in Daytona. It was spring break. And he thought, woo-hoo! I got my portion from the Source. He said, Pop, man, I love you. Thank you. But I'm going to go live a little. And when we say live a little, if I wish I could have the ocean here, but all I got's this barrel. And this barrel represents a portion of their goods. Now, being the youngest son and being in line in the aristocracy, we're getting ready to see what's getting divided over in Great Britain. Just keep your eye on the money, follow the money. We'll allow this barrel to represent the Father's supply. But because he was the younger son, he said, give me my portion. Give me my portion. And so the Father said, okay. Father said, all right. There's your portion. Number two, son. Not even a tenth. He said, give me my portion. And watch the preacher spill it all over his tablet. Give me my portion. And money started burning a hole in his pocket. And he truly thought that women and partying was more attractive than Moses and the law, or staying at dad's house, even though the source was at the Father. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all, gathered all together, and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He took what he'd received from the source, his portion, and he was ready to live the high life. And not only did he live the high life, he had dozens of friends, and the fun never ended, well, as long as he was buying. And eventually, everything ran out. Gone. Verse number 13 says, "And not many days after, the young son gathered all and journeyed into a far country," because what he was about to do, he didn't want mom and dad knowing about. What he was about to do, he knew they wouldn't approve of. What he was venturing into, mom and dad would not approve of. They would say, "What are you doing?" And mom, you know, moms sometimes, moms can, you know, they'll grab you by the ear. When I turned 50, my mom's told me in front of my kids, "You're not too old for me to spank." And you know, there was still a fear that rose up in me from my days of my youth, because I respected she had the strong right hand of fellowship. And there he wasted his possessions. But when he had spent all. Now watch this. He wasn't paying attention to the days in which he was living. He wasn't paying attention because nobody pays attention to the clouds when they're partying. Nobody pays attention to the storm that's brewing, to the storm that's coming. Nobody pays attention to the gathering storm clouds when you're having fun. I know some people in this room that were fishing and there was a tornado coming about 5 miles away. But the fish were biting, and they were biting good. I got a hat at home that was gifted to me that said, "Fish fear me." And I got to thinking about it while I was preparing this message, and they sure do. Anybody fool enough to stay out there when a tornado is 5 miles away from you, it deserves a little respect. One crack of lightning on the water, and then all lines were in, and we were booking it across the lake. Two boats zipping. Amen. Had to ride like the wind. Matter of fact, I thought about that song on the way over. And then the next song that came to mind about halfway across the lake was "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald." Kind of macabre, I know, but you know, the fish were biting, okay? And for me, that's a treat. I'm the reason they call it fishing, not catching. I've kind of been pulling back with my thing about pastor being the best fisherman I know, because you know I may take that overboard just a little bit. To be honest, he's the best fisherman I ever knew. Okay, so I'll just I'll just park that right there and put that bus in his driveway. All right. He wasn't watching what was going on because he was living it up. And we have idolized that lifestyle in America. Fill my eyes with that double vision. Tonight's the night I'm going to take it to the limit. I'll live all of my years in a single minute. There's a famine coming. There's a storm, and it's not three counties away. There's a storm that's brewing, and if you can get your mind wrapped around it, you need to be prepared for what is coming. And a famine appeared after he had spent it all. There a famine arose and he in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, this is the father's son. Do you suppose that the father had ever said, hey, listen, boys, I want you to read King David's psalm here on number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you believe that maybe he ever heard this in his youth and in his growing up in a Hebrew household? Do you think that he ever heard what King David said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, he was wanting. He was in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine or the hogs. Unlawful for a Hebrew. They're unclean. When you exchange the source for the system, I sat for 20 minutes crying about this. Because people have exchanged the source for the system. And the system will make you eat pig food, treat you like a pig, get you out into the mud, get you out in there, and they will make you feed their animals. And he began to get so hungry that he started looking, digging through what was in the slop. You may not realize this, but in Las Vegas, Nevada, every one of the casinos are under contract with the biggest hog farmer in the West. And everything that they don't eat goes into a dumpster out back and is trucked out to the hog farm, and the hogs live it up. He gets his hogs to market faster than anybody else, and he gets it to them off of slop that's in the dumpster. And you know what? I would never consider digging into a dumpster, but you look at the people in Venezuela right now, after communism came in and raped their land, and they're diving in dumpsters, not for couches, not for throwaway. They're diving in dumpsters for scraps of food. That's socialism. That's communism. That's the system of the world. Feeding the hogs, feeding that which was not even clean for him to touch. Ugh. And he would have gladly, not begrudgingly. You ever been so hungry, man, you just give me whatever comes? I've never been hungry, you can tell. I've never went hungry, not a day. Now, one time we forgot to feed Willow when she was on her feeding schedule. Now she can pretty much eat by herself. One time we forgot to feed her. And my mom had this wax fruit sitting on the table at home, at mom's house. And she looked up there, and she was just real little, you know. By the way, how'd you like her little sister worshiping this morning? Wouldn't it be great to be so uninhibited that we could worship our God? And don't care if we trip and fall. She grabbed that banana and said, Nana. And before we could stop her, and she's like, she looked at that, and there was something not right. Even a toddler realized that there's something not right. When will we realize that there's something not right in the world system that we left with the source at the Father? Says he would have gladly filled his stomach with the rotting, maggot-infested food slop that he was feeding the pigs. I don't know about you all, but my granny had pigs, and I got to slop them. You know what they had in them buckets beside the door, the back door? Well, if you had gravy and biscuits that morning and somebody didn't finish them. If you had fried chicken in the afternoon and the dogs didn't want the bones, that evening if they had kale or, you know, mustard greens or whatever, and whatever was left over, all right, take that. Not one time when I was doing that did I ever look in that bucket and say, look around, you know, look around and say, ain't nobody looking. Matter of fact, I held it out here because, like Martha and Mary, surely it stinketh. And he was getting ready to eat the slop that he was feeding. And look at the next verse. No, go back. Give me back. I didn't get that finished. In the world, no one gave him a thing. No one gave him anything. What's the world got for you? Hog slop. That's why you hate Mondays so bad. What are you going to do? I got to go to work. How long are you going to be there? Until I can come home. When's your break? Whenever they say. I'd like to say that our breaks were scheduled, but they say, hey, I know you're getting ready to go on break. I was getting ready to go on lunch the other day, and a guy called me up and says, hey, I need your help. Can you? Okay, well, I'm getting ready to go on lunch, and by the time you get back around to it, it's like, meh. Right? That's the system. That's the world. You ain't worth nothing unless you're doing what I tell you to do. What have you done for me lately? Oh, I know that was this morning, but I need you right now. Oh, I know you're fixing to go on vacation with your family, but I need you now. You let my name pop up in the obituary column, and next week they'll have me replaced. Always threatening to fire. Oh, yeah, well, I can get three more to come in here next week. I think it's about time we switch systems. I think it's about time we get back to the source. And he's getting ready to have an epiphany in the fields, slopping hogs. How much is it going to take before you have the same epiphany in your own life? How much is it going to take until you say, you know what, even the servants that Dad's house has are fed better than this, are treated better than this, because he's not part of the system. Let me get over here now. No one gave him anything. The young man didn't realize the difference. It's going to be hard. Brace yourself. Just do one of those real quick. Brace. He didn't understand the difference between access and ownership. At Father's house, he had access to it all. But when he owned it, and when we own it, the devil will try to come and what? Steal. It's his agenda. What happened to his portion, the part that he owned? While it was at Father's house, while it was in the source, it was safe. But when he took possession of it and said, you know what? I think I can live on my slice. Found out real quick that without the anointing, without the protection, without the rebuking of the devourer for his sake, he came to a realization that the systems are different than access. The world system is different than the family of Christ. The world system is different than the family of God. When you have access, you have all the benefits without the responsibility. Whew. who you suppose is in lack in heaven? You seen an angel out there saying, we'll work for food? I'm going to get in trouble. Here it comes. Pray for me. If you've been a good follower up until now, God bless you. If the Lord gives me something to give to you and I charge you for it, then the Apostle Paul said, let an anathema, let me be cursed. Freely have you received, freely give. Listen, y'all getting something out of this? Is this good? You want the rest of it? Okay. $29.95, send it into the, and we'll give you the rest of it on DVD. Full-length DVD. No one said no one ever at the river.
That's right. Amen.
Because we're commissioned by God.
Amen.
And I cannot but tell you what the Lord has given me.
Yeah.
I would dare be afraid to dip my hand into His pocket. See, I know the difference between access and ownership. I know what I got came from Him. I know where it came from. I can take you to the spot. And He began to show me. Pastor, He began to show me. Too many people are trying to make it on their own. You see, in America, we've got this thing of being a self-made man. And we've got the first part of that right. But why don't we just admit the second part and change it to be correct, a self-made mess. You want to go on your own? The Father says, okay, here's your portion. But how many people do we know who have taken their blessings? This was a house of blessing for many people. And somebody came in and twisted their mind. Talking, backbiting, gossiping, which was a sin. Somebody played after their father Satan and said, did he really say that? Has God really said that? I think God said this, and brother so-and-so from Baton Rouge says that too. Yet he's apostate. You're following after apostate. The blessing is dried up. You're living in fear. You're living in drought. You're living in lack. And the storm is coming. As long as he was in the Father's house, he had access to everything the Father owned. But when he took ownership of his own portion, he took the responsibility for preserving, for saving, and for growing it. Remember, Brother Ken that was here, and he taught us on the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, because we may not be able to handle tomorrow's daily bread. Give me this day what I need today. You keep the rest, and today you provide the need. Forgive my trespasses today. You see, that's constant. That's an ebb and flow when you have access rather than ownership. If you take ownership and say, you know what? It's been real good being there. I like what's going on there, but I'm just not sure, and I'm not hearing from the Word, and I'm not reading the Word, and I get mad about something that was preached, and I take off and leave, and then all of a sudden, things start going south. You know what I would say? I would say you need to call a meeting with yourself. You see, when you own it, you can lose it. And he lost it all. When you walk away from the Father's provision and the Father's protection, you submerge yourself into the system of this world. And they will have you eating with the hogs. They'll have you desiring to eat the slop. Too many times, just like this younger man, we're submerged into the world system. And we begin to ask those around us for help. I don't know what to do. They can't help you. They're in the same mess that you are. If you're going to be helped, it has to come from someone who is on solid ground. And this world is built on sinking sand. We can't help you, they'll say, because we're in the same boat that you are. How many people do you know, if you're going through lack or times that you've ever been through lack, and you went to a brother or sister, or you went to somebody, neighbor, and said, hey, neighbor, can you help me? Well, man, we just barely got enough to go on our own. We're just barely getting by ourselves. We've detached from the Father's source, and we're trying to make it on our own in this dog-eat-dog world, and we're just barely getting by. Interesting. So you ain't going to get no help from those in the system, and you certainly ain't going to get no help from the citizen of that country, because he said, I gave you slop to feed the hogs. There you go. Eat up. There you go. What? That was good enough for me and my family to eat 3 days ago. Now, he did something that the majority of people that are trapped in the world system won't do today. Instead of trying to get help from the world again, verse number 17 says, but when he came to himself. I want to challenge you today, if you're finding yourself in this situation, if you're living in more lack than provision, if you're not receiving and being bounced around by the system that is this world, then you need to come to yourself. You need to have a meeting with yourself. Maybe today you need to have a meeting with yourself. Say, self, what am I doing here? And be honest. You know, people aren't honest with themselves. You know, you say, well, people lie to you. They lie to themselves. If they lie to themselves, they're going to lie to you. You've got to get to a point where you're honest with yourself and say, how did I get here? How did this happen? Let's go back to when I was being blessed and see what event turned, what turned off the path, and let's see if we can't get back there again. And then all of a sudden that little cup will start rambling around in your brain and you're like, oh yeah, I remember when I said, Father, give to me the portion that falls me and let me go. You see, that's only something that you'll do when you get into the hog's pen. As Pastor said, when you're in the bottom of a wagon rut. Lowering a snake's belly in a wagon rut. You see, you won't think that until everything's crashed around you. You won't think that until you're living in so much lack that you can't provide for nothing or nobody. You won't think like that. You won't think that I shall arise and get back to my Father's house. You won't even begin to think like that. You'll know where to go. You'll know how to get there, but the world will keep saying, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Oh no, the economy's not going to fail. Oh no, it'll be all right. The election wasn't stolen. Oh yeah, it'll be all right. The world will continue to play into your mind and play into your fears, and all of a sudden, you remember Dad didn't care at the Father's house. He didn't care about the election. He doesn't care about the things in this world. He cares about the people in this world and providing for them, and you're on a different system than the world is unless you can't let go. You're going to have to come to yourself. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have enough and to spare? Have enough bread to spread enough and to spare. How many of my father's servants are eating regular? And I perish with hunger. You see, not only do you need to talk with yourself, you've got to be honest with yourself. The answer is not in the world or the world system. Who's the source? Don't be tentative if you know. Who's the source?
Hallelujah.
You ever wonder why that verse is in the scripture? I have been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed
begging bread.
The source.
Yeah.
Get to the source.
Hallelujah.
If he fed Elijah with the ravens, the dirty bird, he'll take care of me. You got to come to yourself. You got to come to yourself. Some of you here this morning need to come to yourself. You need to get alone with yourself and say, what am I doing here? Am I so stubborn and filled with pride that I would rather stay in this condition and starve to death? Death. You know what death is? The biblical definition of death is separation. He was separated from the Father. He was separated from the source. He was separated, and the world, the system of the world, was killing him. And I perish with hunger. Whew. We need to make up our mind. Now here's the account. Here's the account of the man talking to himself. Thank you. Verse number 18. I will arise. That's not an idea. That's not a thought. That is a declaration. That is an I will statement. If you're finding yourself in lack spiritually, if you're finding yourself in lack physically, if you're finding yourself in lack monetarily, if you're finding yourself in lack dietarily, you need to get to yourself and make a declaration, I will arise and go to my source. And I will say to my source, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I took what you gave me. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. I thought I could handle it, but I can't. I've made a mess of things. I've made a mess. And if you're trapped in the world system and nothing seems to be going right, and no one is either willing or able to help you, take the initiative to get up and get out of there yourself. Make this declaration, I will arise. I will get up. I will break free from this mess. I know that there's a place where even the hired hands are living better than me in this world system. Now here's what he said. Now we know he was tied to the world system because he said literally, it would be better to be a slave in my father's house than to die in the hog pens of the world. You see, he was still thinking with the world system. Some of us today are still thinking like the world. We've been in the world so long that they've molded how we think. And this is what he was doing. He said, even the servants at Father's house are eating better than me. And he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to confess that I sinned to him. I'm going to tell him what's going on. And in verse 19, he goes and he sees him. He says, I'm going to tell him I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. See, that's what the world will make you feel like. I'm no longer worthy. I don't understand how God can love me. I've done so much wrong. I made mistakes. I took some medicine I shouldn't have took, even though the pastor said, I don't know if I would do that. And now the devil's saying that you're not worthy anymore. You're not a son anymore. And he's lying to you. You need to make up your mind and you need to say right now, I will arise and I will get back to the Father's house because there's the source. Just make me like one of your slaves. Notice how the world system had framed his thinking. You see, the world only knows about masters and servants. Wednesday night we're going to slam this door. The world only knows about masters. You're either a master or you're a slave. That's all the world knows. The world cannot comprehend being a part of God's family. There are certain privileges that come from being family. We just had our family reunion down in Eastern Kentucky, and I hadn't seen some of those folks for nigh on to 20 years. You know what? I was still family. They still welcomed me in. They still love me. I think most of them did. At least they smiled when they saw me. Probably because now I'm old and fat and bald. But I at least I made somebody laugh. But when you're family, you're family. You can't deny. I gotta go. I gotta hurry. Oh man. And he arose and came to the Father. But when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I'm going to confess to you today, this is where I've messed up. We've had people that left, and I've had family that left, and I've invited people here today that left, and they made it their choice not to be here. But unlike the father in the story, I may not have had compassion, Pastor. Okay, you don't want to be here? Go. When I know that their blessing, their purpose, and their calling is here. Not was here, but is here. Sometimes when you've invested so much into people, and they would rather run than to say, hey, look, I don't understand, or I don't know, or ask. It tears at you. And I was sitting there. In Williamstown, Kentucky, in the Ark. And God reminded me how many times He watched me come home. And I just went about my business and thinking, okay, they don't want to be here, we'll move on. Turn the page. Start a new chapter. But I didn't see him and I didn't have compassion. That was the next 40 minutes why I miss Ken Ham. Because there in the part of the ark that talked about redemption and forgiveness and the cross, you saw the picture that I sent from my bench. The Lord began to talk to your pastor. I've got to have compassion. If even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. We've got to be compassionate. I messaged several people this week and I said, I'm going to talk about our relationship and I want you to be there. And I said, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. Because the Lord has burdened my heart for those people who are wandering and being beat around in the world system. It doesn't have to be that way. You can come home. There's still a place for you at the table. As the Father has prepared a place for me as His under shepherd, we are preparing a place for you, and you're welcome to come home. We just want our boys and our girls home. Are you tired of being beat up in the world? Come home. We'll not beat you up here. Your family here. Your family. We'll hug you. We'll come running out in the parking lot to meet you. You're welcome here. I heard a guy I greatly respect last night say, our whole mission is just to get you to heaven. It. And I can't get you to heaven holding you at arm's length. I can't get you to heaven pulling you on a leash. But I guarantee you that I can love you. I may not understand, but I'll embrace you and I'll walk beside you. And if I have to, I can carry you. You see, you're not heavy. You're my brother. You're my sister. And I want you to go to heaven with me. I want you to get out of this system that we know as the world and get back to the source. And the source is the Father. Let me get you back to the source. It's crucial to note that the Father didn't go looking for him. You see, he doesn't change. What that says is that right where you walked away from the Father, right where you walked away from the source, it's still waiting. Don't let the world confuse you so you lose your way home. And the Son came and he said to him, verse number 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Who told him that? See, he's still thinking like the world. There are people that come here and they're still thinking like the world. And he needed to say it. The Son needed to say it. But he was still the Son. Verse number 22. But the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. He's now going to wear the family crest again. He gets the dinner jacket. You know, like the masters down in Augusta. He gets the green coat with the crest. Bring out the best robe. You know, he could have said, you know what, and what a lot of people like to do. Well, I know where you've been and I know what you've done, and we're just gonna give you this old, your brother's got a robe out there he wore out. You know, what are we gonna give it? That's not what God does. If you find your way home to the source, the source is just as you left him, and you'll be received just as you walked away. put that robe on him. That's my boy. That's my child. And put a ring on his finger. Now, this wasn't just any ring. This ring was the signet ring of the family. It was a credit card. All he had to do when he was in town at the, you know, at the Camel and Chariot shop, all he had to do was put that in the wax on the seal, and they'd send the bill to Father, to the source. You see, that's what he walked away from. They put them on young children. I was talking with little Luke after he turned 13. I was talking with him. You know, they had that bar mitzvah thing in Israel. And what they did, they give him a ring. And they said, whenever you see that boy in town with that ring, he's my son. And you will treat him with the respect that you treat me, else we're going to be talking. And you don't even want me to go into lion mode on you. You think I'm kidding? Isn't that what Jesus said? A certain man had a vineyard and he planted it, and he went on a far, took his journey and went on a far, in a far journey in a far another country, and he sent his people back to check on it, and they treated him bad, killed him. Sent some more back, they treated him bad and killed him. Next thing you know, he sent the son back, and they said, aha, this is the heir. If we kill him, surely we'll own this place. And they killed the son. All of a sudden, the master comes back, and he ready to kick booty. All right? He didn't get even. He got ahead. Put the ring on him because I identify with him. My son is home and I identify with him. And this last thing, if you don't know Judean history, you would not understand this. Servants. Now remember, the boy said he'd been out in the world and he said, you know what, Daddy, all I really wanted, I'm hungry. All I really want, I just want something to eat. I want a place to sleep where I don't have to worry about the hogs eating me at night. I don't have to worry about what's going on in the wild. I need peace. And he said, put sandals on his feet. Unless you know significantly what that means. Because servants didn't wear sandals. Only sons and daughters. What will God do for you if you get back to the source? He will take you out of that world system. We heard a little bit about it last night. He will take you out of that world system and said, let them do whatever they want to do. My God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to what's going on in the economic situation of this world. We're not tied to that. You need peace. You need to be free from that. Get back to the source. Get back to the source. I don't know who's watching this. I don't know where this is going in the world. But if you have fallen a victim of the world system, I implore you, get back to the source. If you're here in town, we'll show you how. We're not here to condemn. We're not here to judge. Get back to the source. Get ready. I'm going to ask a question, and I want the entire sanctuary to answer it. If you've fallen and you're looking at the world thinking, man, I normally wouldn't consider it, but that's looking pretty good. Get back to the source. You say, who's the source?
The Father.
The Father. And the Father is still seeking to save that which is lost. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the saving grace found in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.